turn with me once again in the Old Testament to the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 1, as we stand our feet in honor of God's Word. Nehemiah chapter number 1. What a wonderful story we've seen in this book. The Bible continues here in verse number 1, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 1. I know. I was sitting here thinking, what have I said? And it dawned upon me. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and women, and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Anaiah and Urijah and Hilkiah and Maaseiah on his right hand, and on his left hand Padaiah and Mishael and Malchiah and Hashem and Hashbadanah, Zechariah and Meshullam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua and Bani and Sherebiah, Jamin, Akab, Shabbathiah, Hadijah, Maaseiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peleah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. I want to call your attention to the very first phrase. The Bible says, all the people gathered themselves together. And I want to preach on that thought tonight. All the people gathered themselves together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love, for your wonderful goodness to us, your mercy and your grace. Lord, we thank you as we've read this wonderful passage in the Old Testament, Lord, from Nehemiah chapter 1 up through this point. We've seen how that you can accomplish great things through people to give themselves to thee. Lord, we thank you for this portion that we've read tonight, what's taking place, the victory, Lord, that no doubt was being felt and enjoyed. Lord, I pray that you'll help me as I stand to preach. I pray for the power of God to be real upon me. And Lord, I pray that I'll preach, Lord, with that unction from thee. Lord, I can't do it without you. So Lord, I'm going to ask and plead with thee that you would work through me tonight. Lord, that which would seemingly be impossible from the human standpoint, but Lord, I pray from thee would be very possible, that a man would be used to speak thy word in such power that we'd go out knowing that we've heard from God, not from me. Bless, O Lord, the reading of thy word and the preaching of it and the hearing of it. And may we be obedient, Lord, to the response to it. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen and amen. I want to preach to you just for a few moments on this thought. All the people gathered themselves together. We've come to this point and we realize the walls are built. The people have come to this place where they've gathered together. They've done all the work, and 52 days they've been diligently working at the rebuilding of the walls, and they've had all kinds of attacks and all kinds of the things have taken place. The devil's tried to stop the work. They tried to get Nehemiah to stop the work. Everything that you could possibly imagine has been taking place. But the walls are built and they're rejoicing, and Nehemiah now has people in their place. And you remember last week we talked about people and their responsibilities, and we saw different groups of people and the things that they had to do, and we saw people, the qualifications of people. All this is set up now. Now the people are gathering themselves together. And there's no doubt that they appreciate the fact of what has taken place, but they're so thrilled about this public worship that they're able to enjoy. They're so excited that they're able to gather together. And the Bible says all the people gather themselves together as one man. You talk about a unified body. They were unified. They came together as one man. And they were there for the purpose of hearing the Word of God. And so tonight, we need to look at this, and we can enjoy the things that they were enjoying. We can have what they had at this time and in this place in the book of Nehemiah chapter number 8. And I'm going to give you seven things very quickly tonight. Seven things, we're going to go through this, that ought to be a part of every time that we gather together. And every time that we come together as this assembly, the things that were happening here ought to be some of the same things that are happening in our place tonight and in this day. Number one, I want you to see that we must learn to desire the Word of God. We must learn to desire the Word of God. The Bible says in verse number 1, all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord commanded to Israel. In other words, they said to Ezra, we want you to preach to us. We want to hear from the Word of God. And they had a desire to hear what God had to say. You have to realize, it had been some time since they had been in an assembly like this. It had been some time since they had enjoyed this public worship. It had been quite a while. As a matter of fact, they'd been in captivity for many years. And of course, we know that Ezra came and rebuilt the temple. But to have this where they were able to go and to enjoy all coming together in one place. And apparently, this temple was a lot smaller than the Temple of Solomon. They weren't able to go into that temple. They met in the street that was before the water gate. And they said, we want to hear the Word of God. We want to hear the book of the law of Moses. I'm telling you tonight, I think that in America, maybe the only way that we'll ever really enjoy or desire the Word of God, the way that people once desired, is maybe we need something to happen to help us to not have it for a while. They hadn't had it, but now they have. They're so excited. They're thrilled. Tonight, let's not wait for something like that. Let's come to church desiring to hear the Word of God and desiring to hear what God wants to say to us and to help us and to instruct us. And when it digs a little deep into our side and we think, boy, that hurts to hear, let's be thankful that God's given it to us. And when it lifts us up to the mountain and we're able to shout the hallelujahs, let's learn to rejoice in the fact that God has given it to us. We need to learn to desire the Word of God. The second thing, learn to love the preaching of the Word of God. They desired the Word, but they loved the preaching. Notice what the Bible says. Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And listen to this. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. You know what that means? They were chained to it. That's what this is talking about. They were chained to the Word. They were so attentive. They loved the preaching of the Word of God. People love entertainment today, but they don't care too much for preaching. People love to go and to have all kinds of fun and funny stories and humorous things. And to be quite honest with you, you know, a humorous story doesn't bother me every now and then, but I love the preaching of the Word of God. It doesn't always have to be loud. It doesn't always have to be demonstrative, but it has to be the Word of God. And we need to learn to love the preaching of the Bible. We need when a preacher gets up and opens up the book, and you know, sometimes there's some preachers you're going to like better than others, there's no doubt about it, but if he preaches the Bible, you ought to love it. You ought to be excited about it, and we need to learn to do that. We ought to be attentive to it. I heard somebody say, too many Christians stay up and watch Saturday Night Live, and they come in Sunday morning dead. Amen? And I think sometimes we don't love the preaching of the Word of God because we've not prepared ourselves to hear the preaching of the Word of God. If you had a famine of it, if you had a period of time where you did not get to hear the preaching of the Word of God, I'm telling you, if you're truly a Christian, you'll want it so bad you can't stand it. It had been quite a while since they had had the preaching of the Word. But dear friends, we're blessed because we get it every week. I don't claim to be a whole lot. I'm not a great scholar. I'm not a great theologian. But there's one thing I promise you, if I'm going to stand up and preach, it's going to be the Bible that I'm going to preach. And you ought to love the preaching of the Bible. You ought to have a desire to hear the preaching of the Word of God. You ought to learn that when a preacher's getting up here preaching, you ought to be chained to what it is that they're saying, not sitting back there twiddling your thumbs, clipping your nails, thinking about what you're going to eat after church. Hey, you ought to say, I want to hear what God has to say. And the preacher has a responsibility to stand up and to preach the Word, to be instant in season and out of season. The Bible teaches me that I have this responsibility, and that is to tell you what thus saith the Lord. And when I'm telling, you ought to love it. Amen. When somebody else is behind here preaching and they're preaching the truth, you ought to love it. Amen. We ought to love the preaching of the Bible. I'm telling you tonight, I love it. I love to hear preaching. I went 2 weeks ago to a Bible conference. I heard every kind of preacher and in their the way that they preach and in their deliverance. I heard different kinds and I loved every bit of it. I couldn't get enough. You know, they had in the morning, they had these workshops, and you go in and cover different areas just to help you. And they took the Bible and they explained, you know, this is why we do it. Everything from music to Christian education to start new churches and all these different things to just give us a great understanding of this. And that was what time was that at, son? He's not in here. 9:30, I believe, in the morning. And then at 10:15, it broke loose. And then at 10:30, they went and had a service, had preaching. And I thought, boy, this is good. And then we had to break for lunch. And I could have cared less about the lunch. I wanted to hear more preaching. Then they didn't have an afternoon service. And it wouldn't have bothered me. Then that night, went back and had two preachers at night most of the times. And I was sitting there just eating it. I love preaching. And then there was a guy from England. He was preaching. I loved to hear the accent, but I loved what he had to say. There was a guy from the south, a guy from the north, a guy from the west. I'm telling you, it was all kinds of preachers you can possibly think of. But as long as they're preaching this book, I love it. You ought to love. Learn to love the preaching of the Bible. Get yourself ready to hear what God, every time you come to church, you're looking for God to speak to you through the preaching of the Word. Thirdly, learn the purpose and the place of the pulpit. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 4. And Ezra the scribe stood upon the pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose. We need to understand. The pulpit has a place and it has a purpose. And you know what it was made for? When you go and you read this, and you go and you study this in the original language, when it says it was made for this purpose, it was made for the Word of God. Isn't that exciting? I'm telling you, so many churches have taken their pulpits out and brought in stools and have a dialogue. But dear friends, I believe we ought to have the preaching of the Word of God. It's not dialogue we need. It's old-fashioned leather lung. I'm telling you, tell it like it is. Bible preaching. When somebody gets up and they put their Bible on this pulpit, dear friend, they ought to realize that that's what this thing is built for. It is built for the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. And this is a special place to me. We try to teach our young people, you know, and I love it when they come up and they greet me, and that's wonderful, that's fine. But this isn't a place to horse around and to play. This is a place where the pulpit stands. This is a place that's been built for the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. And we ought to teach them, this is a place that God set aside for certain things. We have to teach them the place and the purpose of the pulpit. That's why a lot of churches, you know, now, pardon me. And you, some of you may even get a little bit aggravated at what I'm getting ready to say. But I remember a church up in Tennessee, and the preacher would get up, and there'd be a little kid that wanted to walk around, and he'd get up and carry him around preaching and holding the kid. I'm sorry to tell you this. I just don't think that the Lord wants that to happen. Because there's more people going to be watching that kid than they're going to be listening to the Word of God being preached. This is a place for the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. It's not a place for entertainment. Now, I think it's wonderful to have people sing behind here because it's the giving of the Word. If you're singing the right kind of song, there's no harm done. Right? That's why we preach around here. Our songs have to be doctrinal, have to be doctrinally correct, because there's a message in the song. Understand that. That's what this pulpit is all about. I don't know who built this pulpit. Was it built by somebody in the church or was it bought? Does anybody know? It was bought. But I promise you, when they bought it to put in here for the purpose of the preaching and the teaching and the giving of the Word of God. It wasn't going to be some kind of a little podium for somebody to get up and tell jokes in the dialogue. It's going to be for preaching. Amen? That's the purpose and the place of the pulpit. And there's a lot of churches that have traded the pulpit for pleasure. Right? God help us. We need to learn the purpose and the place of the pulpit. Number four. Learn to respect the Word of God. The Bible says in verse number 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he is above all the people, and when he opened it, the people stood up. You know, we're so spoiled. Most of us could go to our home and find 10 Bibles laying around. No doubt about it. You can go in my study and on my shelf behind me is just about every Bible I've used since I've been saved, and then some others that have been given to me over the years. And I've probably got 10, 12 Bibles up there. I've got 2 or 3 more Bibles at my house. But can you imagine these people had been in captivity for quite a while? They hadn't had the pleasure of the Word of God, being able to read it and hear somebody stand up and teach from the book of the law of Moses. Boy, they'd long for it. We're so spoiled that we throw it up in our car windows and leave it there. And I go by cars and I see their Bible looking like this. I do put mine in my car window when I'm going from one place to another sometimes. I keep it there because it's the safest place for it for me. But it's only there for that purpose. It's not a place. I don't leave it there. I don't place things on top of my Bible. I respect it too much. You say, well, it's just a book. It's God's book to man. Amen. It's not just a book. It's not a novel. It's not some fictitious fairy tale. This is the Word of God. Amen. I see people throw it around and toss it and heck like it's nothing. I see people lay it and then stack all kinds of things up on top of it, and it's not their conviction, so I don't say a whole lot to them. But let them put something on my Bible. And I'll say, please don't do that. Or I'll just go over quietly and I'll put it off. You know? And then every now and then I'll find myself, I'll get in a hurry, and I'll have this up here, and I'll get my bulletin, and I'll come over, and I'll set that there like that, and then I start to walk away and I think, I can't do that. This is the Bible. The only thing you can put on top of my Bible and it not bother me is another Bible. I'm sorry, it's the Bible. It's not to be abused or misused. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. When we hide it in our heart, it keeps us from sinning against God. It's the Bible. And the Bible teaches me here in Nehemiah chapter number 8 that when he opened the book, that the people stood up. Now, I don't think it's necessary for every time somebody gets up to preach to say, I want you to stand. That's what I do. But I think they had a newfound respect for the Word of God. They hadn't had it read and preached and taught to them.
And boy, just the Bible says when he opened the book in the sight of all the people, because he was above all, for he was above all the people, when he opened it, all the people stood up. You want to know why? They were respecting not only the man, they were respecting the law that he had, the Word of God that he had. We ought to learn to respect the Word of God. We ought to teach our children to respect the Word of God. When we get them a Bible, we ought to say, now this is different than other books. You know, we don't rip pages out of this. We don't do this. Now, look, we start getting bus kids in here, and we find them doing something like that, but don't jump down their throat. They don't know better. But we teach them these things. We teach our own children these things. Learn to respect the Word of God. The Bible says when he opened the book and the law in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, when he opened it, all the people stood up. They were excited and they had a respect for the man of God and for the Word of God. And tonight I'm saying that we need to learn to respect the Word of God. Amen. Then the next thing, we need to learn to say amen. The Bible says in verse number 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up of their hands. In other words, they were agreeing with what he had to say. They were excited. He gave, he opened up the Bible and he blessed the Lord. And as he blessed the Lord, they said, amen, amen, we're blessing the Lord too. And I tell you, there's nothing more difficult than going to a church that doesn't believe in saying amen. You know, and there's a lot of churches like that around. There's a lot of preachers that have taught people, you know, I'm weary of a whole bunch of emotional junk that happens in a lot of churches. And so people says, we're going to go so far the opposite way. Let's just go back to the Bible. They were saying amen, amen, and lifting up their hands. But now look, it was never an outward show of the flesh. It was always praise for the Lord and an agreement with what was being preached or what was being taught. And we need to learn to say amen. I'm telling you, you talk about making a difference. Learn to say amen. When a preacher is preaching and he preaches the truth, just say amen. And we might have to be like Brother Tom Sexton. They have an amen class. People get saved and they say, we're going to teach you about saying amen. It's not something to be flippant. Some people, you ever been somewhere, you ever heard a preacher get up and he preaches and say, and the Lord said amen, and God did this amen, and blah, 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 amen. I'm going to tell you something, that gets on my nerves. Amen, every other word. And he's just saying, I agree to say, you know, he's not saying anything. Down there, they learned him to say, they taught him, you know, when the Bible truth is given, it's all right to say amen. And when you really like it, you can say, yes, amen. That's all right, isn't it? Yes, amen. I like that. We have got to learn to respond this way, to have this. First of all, if you learn to say amen, you know what? It's going to keep you awake. You see, I see it all on Sunday mornings. I've watched more eyes roll back in the people's head than you can possibly imagine. I've seen some of the funniest things you've ever seen. Look, I've watched people try to keep themselves awake. You know? It's so humorous. I've watched people, you know, I've seen people go, you know? I've watched people. You ever hear a thump in the middle of a service? That's usually because I saw somebody's head hit the back of the pew. Bonk. You know, I've seen all that. If you'll learn to just listen and involve yourself, I promise you, things like that will help you. You say amen to stay awake? No. You say amen to help the preacher and to stay in with it and to help the message to go along. And by the way, a preacher may be up here preaching on hell and how terrible it is and that there's people that's going to die and go there. And then some deacon will stand there, will sit there and say, well, amen. I agree. And that's right. Then some of those people in here are sinners are going to say, man, that preacher's not the only one that believes that. We need to learn to say amen and say, I agree. You don't need to learn. You don't need to say amen when somebody gets up and says, hey, your pastor's not much. Amen. Lord, help us. We need to learn to say amen at the right time. If you're listening to the Word of God, if you become, we need to learn to listen to the Word of God again, don't we? I may preach a message on that, listening to preaching. And there's biblical, there's scriptural references to listening to preaching and teaching of the Bible. But learn to say amen, but say in the right place. I've seen, been to so many churches, and I mean, they're just shouting amen all the time. And I'll tell you, they're saying it at the most terrible times. You know? There's nothing wrong with the saying praise the Lord or hallelujah, but learn to respond in the right way. We need to learn to say amen all over again. You know, our churches, you know what they've gone to now? Give me a break. The Bible doesn't say, oh yeah, it does say, clap your hands in one place, but that's totally out of context if you think it's in this kind of a worship service. No, learn to say amen. Learn to involve yourself. Learn to respond to the Word of God. I'm telling you, a man is not to be applauded, but God is to be amen. The Bible teaches us that. And when you applaud, I'm sorry, most of the time you're applauding the man. You know? Most applause comes after a song. And you're applauding entertainment. That's why I've asked that we don't applaud around here. We need to learn to say amen. Say it at the appropriate time. It's something you have to learn to do. And you need to work at things like that. And by the way, you want to help a preacher preach? Learn to say amen. You know, you say, well, if I say amen too much, we'll be here 15 minutes longer. Well, you're probably right, but that's all right. Learn to say amen. And enjoy it. And when you're doing that, you're going to enjoy the service a whole lot more. Number six, learn to worship the Lord. Notice what the Bible says, verse 6. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. See, most people think that worship is all about how much you shout. Now, don't take me wrong. That may be part of it. But I always find worship in the Bible is always involved with humbling ourselves and bowing. You understand? And we need to learn to worship the Lord. In other words, what we do when we worship the Lord, we see ourselves for who we are and we see His greatness. And many times we're going to bow in humility and we may be saying, thank you, Lord. And some it may not be some verbal expression, but we worship God in different ways. Worship's not always about shouting, but there can be praises in worship. There's no doubt about that. We understand that according to the Bible. But we need to learn to worship the Lord all over again. We have such an entertainment society that it has spoiled church. You know, we come and we think it's got to be a big show. And that it's all about laughing and cutting up and you know, they use what they term praise and worship, and it's so shallow. Yes, that's right. Bill Hybels, one of the gurus of all this stuff, he and Rick Warren had kind of teamed up. Bill Hybels came out not too long ago, and he said, look, all we've done is produce a bunch of shallow Christians, and that stuff that we taught is not working. Now, I'm not a Bill Hybels fan, but I admire a man that will get up and say, made a mistake. He said, we may have more people come to church, but less is getting done. And we're seeing that, aren't we? Because people come in on Sunday and they swing and they sway, but then they go into work on Monday and they're just as devilish as they were before. They don't want to get too deep into doctrine and too deep into theology because, you know, that's just too overwhelming. But we have to understand, when we come to a church that preaches and teaches the Bible, we have one of the greatest privileges in all the world. We can worship the Lord. Every song ought to be geared to lifting up the Savior. Every message ought to be geared to honoring God and His Word. And as it is, we ought to be able to say amen and to lift our hands and to bow our heads and to worship. But we have to learn to worship. You know, I found out worship's not easy. First of all, we have to be in the heart where we can worship. But not only we have to be in the heart where we can worship, then we have to work at it. Because I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to come to church and the devil's going to put everything in your mind that he possibly can to keep you away from worshiping the Lord. You know, I used to think that I've had people, and I thought, boy, I love this. This is great. They're taking notes while I'm preaching. I'm so excited about this, you know. Thrilled. I like it when people, because I love to take notes. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I just get captured by the preaching and I can't, you know. I forget all about it. But I've watched people and I've watched them write and I've watched them do all kinds of things. And then, you know, inevitably, somebody will leave that behind. Well, if it's on the church pew, it's public domain. So I flip through it sometimes. I see grocery lists. I've seen tic-tac-toe. I've seen hangman. I thought, they probably want to hang the preacher. You know, I've seen everything. It sure did bust my bubble. I guess it'd be burst my bubble. You know, I done thought, they're excited. They're enjoying this preaching. They're writing it down. It's wonderful. But they were hanging me. You know? Now, not everybody. I've seen notes and things like that. And I've seen notes and I took it and I thought, boy, this is good. I don't think I said that. You know? Honestly, I have. And I'd say people are like me when I'm taking notes. I write things down that the preacher doesn't say because God gives me a thought while I'm taking notes. And usually the things I didn't say are the best things in your notes. So I'm telling you, God can use me at least to maybe spur something in your mind. But learn to worship the Lord. Learn to listen to the preaching of the Word of God and to love the preaching of the Word of God and to respond to the preaching of the Word of God and learn to worship the Lord. And I know we all are going to worship in our own way in different ways. There's no doubt about that. But the Bible teaches us that we have a wonderful Savior that's worthy of our worship. And to worship Him, it's always going to be about pointing people to Him. Go over to Revelation chapter number 5. You want to see true worship? As all the nations, the kindreds, the tongues, the peoples, they were worshiping the Lord. You know why? Because they were all pointing to Him. You know, I've heard people say that preacher will shout at the drop of a hat, and he'll drop his own hat to shout. Well, I don't care for that. I'm sorry. It's not about how much you shout or how loud you shout. It's about truth. It's about a God that is holy, that is right, and that is just. I'm not going to try to work it up. I think you found that out. I don't try to work it up. As a matter of fact, we'll get to a climactic point sometimes in my preaching, and before I come to the end of it, I try to bring it back down so you'll make a decision based on truth instead of a decision based on emotion. There's a lot of preachers that try to get you all excited, and they'll get you to a certain point, and then they say, would you come, would you come, would you come? And I realize there can be decisions based on emotional things that are happening. But in the truth of it all, don't you think we better be sure that it's based on truth, not just on some kind of an emotional thing? And there's a lot of preachers that can work on your emotions, and they can get you all hyped up about certain things. And you've seen preachers that'll come in here, the men that'll come in churches and they'll try to get it all worked up. They'll be in the congregation trying to get it worked up. Well, let me tell you something. True worship's going to come from your heart to the Lord. And yes, it does catch on. When somebody starts worshiping God, it's like a fire. It'll start spreading. But I'm not going to try to work it up in you. I just need to be obedient between myself and the Lord. And if I'm doing what God wants me to do and it rubs off on you, well, then praise the Lord. But I'm not going to try to make you do something. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. Learn to worship the Lord. If we have our heart right towards God, we'll desire to worship Him. So we need to see. Let's review just for a moment, and then we'll see the last thing. Number one, we're to learn to desire the Word of God. Number two, learn to love the preaching of the Word of God. Number three, learn the purpose and the place of the pulpit. Number four, learn to respect the Word of God. Number five, learn to say amen. Number six, learn to worship the Lord. And then finally tonight, number seven, learn to take what you've received to others. Notice what the Bible says, verse number seven. It gives us a list of all these people. And the Bible says down there, after it gives us this list, it says, it caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. There was a great multitude of people. Ezra was up preaching. He had people on his right hand, people on his left hand. They were listening. But here's some people that were out that more than likely they were getting what they could get from this. And then they were taking it to another crowd of people because they were too far away to hear everything. But notice that the people didn't go from one spot to another trying to see, well, let's see what this one says, let's see what this one says, let's see what this one says. You know, the Bible says they stood in their place. And the Bible teaches us that these people that came, they gave the Word of God distinctly. In other words, as God had given it, they were giving it to them. And that's our responsibility. You know, if what I preach stops right here on Sunday, then we're not fulfilling what God wants us to fulfill. We're to take the things that we've been taught, the things that we've heard preached, the truth, and we're to take and give it to others. There's some people that can't hear. I appreciate what Brother Truman does. Goes to the nursing home. You know what he's done? He's taken the Word of God to a people that can't be here to hear it. But it's not only about people that can't be here. There's people that will not be here that you can go to, that you can reach. There's people that you can talk to that right now won't come to the church. You say, well, but what do I say? You know, when they start asking questions, that's what, learn these things. Take this stuff. Teach it to others. I know people that's doing Bible studies at their work. Well, we've got, if you want to take and teach the Sunday school material, we've got extra books. We've got things like that. We'll give to you. Take it. Teach it. Learn it. One day a week, say, I want to teach this. You know, y'all want to get together? We'll have a Bible study. Boy, that's so hard. Look, you may only have one, but that's one. I remember at Eastman Chemical Company, they started, some people started a Bible study, and it was so big, you know, I couldn't go to this Bible study, but they'd started a Bible study in a certain other place, and it grew from like 5 to about 50. They were coming together, people that were saved, people that were not saved, and they were doing these things, and it was an exciting thing, and I never really knew of that concept, didn't understand that concept. But boy, I started thinking, boy, that's the way it ought to be. I know at Temple Baptist Church, outside in Knoxville, Tennessee, where Crown College is, they have 130 Bible studies going on outside of their church, where they're taking the material that they have on Sunday and taking it out to their places of work, to schools. Kids are getting together at lunch one day a week and having a Bible study. Isn't that amazing? 131 Bible studies outside where they're taking the things that they've been taught on Sunday and taking it into the workplace. That's an amazing thing to me. But this is exactly what was happening here with all these people. Now, these weren't the preacher, but they were involved in the ministry. And by the way, the preacher's ministry does not stop at the pulpit. It's not just about you doing things, it's about me doing what I'm supposed to be doing too. But we need to learn to take the Word of God to others. Take what we've learned to others. That's when we learn truths, when we learn these things, just ask God to help you. And sometimes people will be going through a tragedy. People's going to have a certain question, and you've learned this in the Word of God and in church. And you can say, hey, can I tell you what the Bible says about that? You know, and they may say, no, I really don't want to hear that. So, well, that's fine. It's blessed me, and I thought maybe bless you. You have ways, you know. We don't coerce people. We don't force anything on people. But we do need to make ourselves available and the Word of God available to others. And if we let people know, you never know. They may say, no, I don't want to hear anything about that. But there may be a time down the road when they say, I need something, and here's a person that was willing to help me. I need to listen this time. Learn to take what you've received to others. God doesn't give me one message to stop right here with it. He doesn't give us Sunday school lessons for it to end when the class is over. He doesn't give you in your daily Bible reading, He doesn't give you nuggets for it to just stop when you're done reading. You're to meditate upon it. You're to apply it. And then you're to help others with it. It's a continuing work. It's a work that never stops. And I think that's the secret to the ministry, is it never stops. If you go into the New Testament and you start reading all these things, they all have conclusions just about. You understand? There's a final, what do you call it at the end? Is that a doxology or something like that? You know, when they'll say, the grace of the Lord be with you all. Amen. Go read the end of the book of Acts. It doesn't end. You want to know why? We are the continuation of the book of Acts. Because it's about the New Testament church. Starting, working its way. And at the end of the book of Acts, there is no conclusion. Because we are continuing. It's the acts of the Holy Spirit working in our lives to carry out the will of God. It's the continuing work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's taking the things that we have learned to others. And we have to be faithful at it. So, the Bible says, and all the people gathered themselves together as one. That's exciting. And that's what we do every time we come together. We gather together, and may it be as one. But then, may we have people responsible. I see not everybody was doing this, turning around, telling the next person, were they? But there were a few. There are always going to be those few in the church that'll take it out. That'll take it out. That'll take it out. So don't get discouraged when it don't, everybody's not involved. But let's not be discouraged when no one's involved. Let's just be one that says, I'm going to do my responsibility, carry out my responsibility, and take what I've learned to others. What's seven simple facts about what our church services ought to be and what ought to come out of it? Pretty simple, wasn't it? I like the Bible. It's simple. It's so simple I can understand it. That's a great thing. I'm a simple-minded person. But I have a God. He's so complex, but He has made it so easy. He's a wonderful Savior. Let's pray. Father, we love You and thank You for loving us. I thank You for the time that we've had to look into Thy Word, and I pray that it's impacted our lives and influenced us in a great way tonight. I pray for this time of response, that we would respond in obedience. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to have a desire to go further for Thee. Lord, help us to learn these things that we've looked at tonight. Help us to learn to desire the Word of God, to learn to love the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, help us to learn the purpose and the place of the pulpit and to respect the Word of God. And Lord, help us to work at saying amen and worshiping You in spirit and in truth. And Lord, I pray that You'll help us to learn to take the things that we've received to others. Lord, help us to be a New Testament church the way the Bible teaches us to be a New Testament church. Help us to carry out the Great Commission, to go to the uttermost part of the earth. But Lord, to never forget about our Jerusalem, our Judea, and our Samaria. We'll thank You and praise You for what's accomplished. For we pray these things in the name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight.